Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 37. This is part three in our three-part series of Death by Referrals. Last time we talked about how there are five ways that you are killing your practice with referrals. I'm not going to go through all of those again. You need to go back and listen. But I do want to bring up the fact that we did talk about the story of Mick. I always want you to remember what Mick is, which is my ideal client. And what we're going to talk about today, Kirk, what are we going to talk about today in this Death by Referrals Part 3?
We're going to focus on two things. First is how to inspire referrals, which means really inspiring Mick, my ideal client. And the second thing is we're going to talk about how to build referral momentum.
Nice. Okay, so we are talking about Mick here, which is my ideal client. It's very important for our audience to know, well, what their ideal client is. But after they've identified that, what are your steps to inspire referrals?
And you jumped right in today. You didn't even say hi.
How's your day? No, dude, I'm all money today. Let's go. We got lots to cover, and we got lots to do. So
we do. So, inspiring referrals, let's just kind of get some perspective on this. The first thing that you need to be able to do when you're thinking about referrals is to build trust. And if you think about building trust these days, it almost always starts online. Mm-hmm. Trust usually starts when you're not even there. Now, there are good advisors who are out there meeting the people and they're doing face-to-face stuff. And that's great. And we encourage that, highly encourage that. But a lot of referral, a lot of trust is built when you're not even there. So things like having a good brand, having a professional website, having good expert content, making that available, and being active on social media. Those are just some examples. So those are places where people can go find about you on their own terms versus you blasting an email or running an ad, things like that. And so building trust starts online. And there's three missing pieces that most advisors, three pieces that most advisors miss to this building trust online, inspiring referrals. And the first one is that you have to have a story. If you think you're getting a referral and nobody knows how to refer you, or you sound like everybody else, you're a lot less likely to get it. So you have to have a story. That story has to speak to who you are, why you're different, why you're better, how relevant you are to their needs, things like that.
Well, I want to pause you there. Let's talk about the story a little bit more. I definitely want to unpack that. When you say story, are you just talking about professionally and what your practice offers, or do you want them to even take it one level deeper? Like, why did you get into the business? Do they have a story from a loved one that was one of the reasons that motivates them to get up every day? What level of personalism does Kirk Lowe think that our listeners should have on their website or on their social profiles?
A brand should more often than not be about you and how you should be about your client and how you serve them, and what they need and what they want, and what it means to them. As far as you getting personal and telling your story, social media is a great opportunity to do that. And so they're different. If you can get personal in your brand, but it should be help tell the story of your brand and why you are for people, but it shouldn't be all about you. I've seen branding experts in the financial industry who make brands specifically about who the advisor is, and it's all about them, and it's hard to relate back to, okay, well, why should I care about that? So you have to make a brand that actually sounds like you're different and better for reasons that are actually relevant to what they need out of you as a financial advisor. In some cases, in a lot of cases, just liking you and feeling connected to you is a really important part of that process. But they also have to know how you're going to help people like them, their age, their interests, their circumstances, careers, all those kinds of things.
We have a client right now through our Top Advisor podcasting service that has had a very neat brand epiphany when it came to kind of extracurricular activities. Would you mind telling the story of JB, please?
Yeah, I mean, got a call from this really good advisor just talking about how exciting it is to take a brand and to build concepts outside of that brand that allow you to be out in the community. In his case, it's a CPR course, and how he paid for a CPR course because of some stuff going on with one of his children, and how we used his brand and implemented his brand into that, although we didn't do it super obvious. So it was like, hey, this is sponsored by your local financial advisor. Come see me. Mm-hmm. We did it way more eloquently than that. But the power of doing community stuff and somehow bringing in your brand, and we actually advised him to create a foundation. And then the foundation and the financial company are connected, but not the financial company and the community event, if that makes mm-hmm, sense. Mm-hmm. So it's more meaningful and more purpose-driven, and doesn't seem like a prospecting opportunity, if you will. And so, you know, being able to get out and do things in the community and have it be so organized that you feel like you can repeat it, and you can build the right kind of equity, and you can feel, most importantly, feel really good about doing stuff in the community. That's a really powerful combination, and having a really strong brand and then creating a brand for your presence and what you're doing means it's more likely that it'll last, mm-hmm. right? Some t-shirts done. We had some really great designs on the t-shirt that linked it back to the company in a really passive way. And it was a lot of fun. And we're going to be off to the next thing, which is a basketball tournament. I think a lot of it's going to be inner city kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's going to be a lot of fun to do. And it's really energizing him. And that's the kind of thing that inspires people to want to be around you.
I want to highlight something here with what Kirk is saying. So if you're working with a branding company, or if you've never really worked with a branding company to the level of what Kirk is talking about here, you just heard what you're missing. Right. You're missing that next level of depth through the discovery process and through this and through the whole brand process that Top Advisor Marketing takes you through. These sorts of things bubble up, and it is a perfect way to inspire, right, people to connect with you, because you're connecting with them from their head for their heart first, not their head. And social media is the perfect place to be able to put this information, because it just rounds out your brand. All right. Well, I wanted everybody to know that just because I think it's important. But there were three missing pieces here that you were talking about. You said you need a story. And then what are the other two?
You need to be able to demonstrate your expertise and your understanding of that audience. So if your story doesn't relate and you can't prove it, it falls pretty quick. I mean, I don't know how many times, but, you know, been to a financial advisor website, either they've contacted you or you're working with them, or you're just, you know, hear about them and you can see they sound really good. And then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, this just like fell, mm-hmm. you know, fell really fast. My perception of them, my trust in their ability to deliver on what they said there, that happens a lot to financial advisors.
Yeah.
And if that's happening to you, believe me, people are pretty discerning. They know mm-hmm. they know who the real players are. They're the people that invest in their businesses. They invest in their stories. They invest in how they communicate with you, how much they share. You know, I still can't stand it when a financial advisor tells me, oh, that's too important. That's my secret sauce. I can't tell anybody that. And it's like, okay, I don't really get that, because every time I share more and more about how to build a brand and all these things, that I seem to attract a heck of a lot more people yeah. and have a lot more fun in my business. So that's been my experience, been the experience of my clients, and certainly your experience too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Giving them, making them feel like they're getting great value before they ever walk in. When they really need you, you're going to be the first person they think of, because you have already been helping them so much. Just through your overall thought leadership. Okay, so
I got a story for you. I'm working good. With a company in California, and they manage money for scientific and engineering associations / organizations.
Okay,
so they have memberships of scientists and engineers, and we're working on a brand. And their marketing is I'd say is average. Like it's not bad, but it's not differentiating. And as I've gotten to learn about this firm and how they compare. Like if we benchmark what they do and what other companies like them do, it's ridiculous how much these guys do and how much value they have. They're incredible. And for me, it is so much fun to find businesses, financial companies who offer so much value, because it just makes my job so much fun. Mm-hmm. But what these guys are doing and what we came up with, it's so much fun positioning that. So if you're in your practice, if you've got a ton of value in how you do things and the niche you do things for, you've got to, you're missing out on a lot by not addressing this. And the biggest part of it is not getting enough referrals because people don't really understand just how special you are. I mean, they might feel really good about it, but if they, most people just can't articulate, you know, how you're good. I've shared this idea so many times before that, you know, how would your client, if you ask them how they would refer you, they're going to use one of these five phrases. You know, Matt, he's a great financial advisor. I really trust him. He has a lot of integrity. He always puts my interests first. He really knows his stuff. Offers comprehensive, you know, holistic planning. That's what most people would say about you, but that does not differentiate. You've got to put new words. And that's what branding is all about, positioning. What do you do that's really different and interesting that you can bring to the surface of your marketing and take your business to another level? And I know people hate it when I say to another level, but it's true. Referring to what you want it to be.
Right.
Whatever that level is. I can't describe it for you. Sometimes it's more fun, more ideals, more profit, less time at the office so you can hang out with your kids or go surfing or whatever it is you do. So, I mean, those are really important things to consider.
And don't think that you can do it on your own. I was talking with an office this last week, and they're not the most creative people in the world. In fact, I was in their office, and through the process of discovery, all of these things started bubbling up. And I was working with their executive team, and their executive team was like, people have asked us those questions before, but it was the secondary and the tertiary level questions that you started to ask, which allowed us to get those words. It's so important for you to not say what everybody else is saying. And since most of our listeners, most of the financial services professionals, creativity in this manner is not one of your general skill sets because you're highly analytical, you're very detail oriented, right? Those don't always lend to being a creative person. Going through a process with a creative person is pretty darn amazing. And then you have to be able to communicate and tell your story, which is the third missing piece. But when you get all of this stuff done, you have to build trust. What happens if this inspiration of my ideal client, Mick, if it doesn't happen, if I'm not building trust while I'm not there, right? While I'm ever present and omnipresent on social, I'm around, I'm doing podcasts. What happens, Kirk? What happens if you're not able to do that?
If you can't tell your story, which would happen through your website, through your social profiles, and if you can't share your story, so share that story, share your expertise, share who you are as a person, all those things, then nobody knows about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell them your favorite line. You said it like 500 times on that show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which one?
But don't be the best kept.
Oh, yeah. The best kept secret in your area. Yeah. Thank you. And that is such
these days,
a huge.
It's not even about your area because so many advisors work way out of state.
Yeah.
Right? It's the country.
So don't be the best kept secret. Maybe I need to change that phrase that I use way too often, which is maybe you shouldn't be the best kept secret in your niche. Right. Just like what you were just talking about, the office that you worked with in California or you work with in California, they have a specific niche. And because they have a specific niche, you can change the dialogue surrounding that niche. So we just talked about how to.
You got to put that on social.
I will. Actually. Yeah.
How you evolve from thinking, you know,
from one to another. Yeah.
I think it might be a bit of an epiphany for advisors.
Awesome.
Great job.
Yeah.
So you're learning from brother.
Hey, you know what? I'm learning from you all the time, man. That's why I like you so much. So if you can't inspire referrals and inspire Mick to really take this next step, then everything else here isn't really going to matter. But I do want you all to think of something again in a little bit different of a way. What Kirk was just talking about with the three missing pieces, always being online, it's just like dating nowadays. Now, for some of us who are old enough who didn't use online dating programs, that we went out to bars, we got introduced by friends, but that has fundamentally changed. It's an obscene number now of people who actually meet their significant others or the people that they're dating on a dating site first. And the only way you're going to get that date is providing the right intriguing information, right? And Kirk's going to walk through this on how to build referral momentum, but honestly, it's the same thing if you wanted to try to date somebody. So these are four things that we talk about a lot, but we're going to talk about how you use this when it comes to referrals now. So Kirk, take it away.
I want to just dial it back a sec before I jump into that and talk about, give a little perspective, because I feel like we're talking about all the marketing things that you and I talk about quite often on this program. I know not everybody listens to every single podcast, but although there are people who have told me that, so reach out and say, I've listened to everyone. And we say, go get a life because we can't be that interesting. Anyway, referrals are really the lifeblood of your organization, and you still have to have a way to earn them in your practice. What we're trying to say is that if you give them the opportunity to feel really good and really comfortable, really confident, and know exactly what to do and exactly what to say, you're far more likely to have the referral take place, and then you significantly increase the chances that the person being referred will actually look at it and say, my gosh, you know, my neighbor Bob is right. Matt Halloran is the perfect financial advisor for me, given what he does, and look at all this expertise and sharing. Mm-hmm. And whether that happens overnight or over 2 years, who really cares? Mm-hmm. Just got to move stuff forward all the time. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. I'm going to go back and rehash a lot of the stuff I just talked about, but I'm going to put it in a blueprint.
Good.
And heard me talk about the blueprint, but I'm going to make it specific to referrals here. First thing you got to do, I've changed the order because I don't want to go, I'm going to tell it in the order you implement, is intrigue. Okay. Got to have that story. Ask yourself, does your story differentiate you? And does it differentiate you with the audience that actually, who you actually care about working with? It's not just, hey, I'm different. It's, are you different for that audience? And then that makes you better. Because if you're not better, what's the point? Mm-hmm. How many times do you think you have an opportunity to get referred and the referral might actually even take place? The referral takes place and the person being referred goes to your site. For starters, you were referred the same way. Well, I already work with an advisor I trust clearly. Clearly, I think they have integrity, although maybe they're leaving for those reasons. But you've got to be different for good reasons, not the same reasons. Mm-hmm. So make sure you figure that out. Second step is engage. Are you telling your story effectively on your website? So is your website up to date with the story that actually resonates with the audience you want to attract and engage? Second one is, on your website, can you easily prove your expertise and understanding? Mm-hmm. Talk about this a lot. You have to have different tiers. I won't get into that today, but you have to make it easy. So have some really simple commitments for them to engage you, and then have some more complex or more larger, higher commitment asks a little bit down the line. But you want to make your simple asks higher on the page. Some of those opportunities would be listening to your podcast. Matt and I run a service helping advisors produce, multiply, and promote their podcasts. And blogging is another one. The reason we do podcasting is so many advisors struggle getting blog posts out the door and writing papers and checklists and things like that. So with podcasting, we try to overcome that, and it's actually working brilliantly and takes a lot less time than it would to write blog posts and go through all that grief. Papers and checklists, which I just mentioned, and then assessments. Assessments are also a really great way to engage people online. And we had a guy on the show, probably number 2930, Prasad Ramani from Syntonic, Syntonic, and he has a behavioral finance assessment, which is really compelling. You could have something like that on your website. Just been introduced to another great person we're going to definitely have on the show, named Jay Moreland, who works with financial advisors doing behavioral finance stuff. So that he has some really cool call to actions, mm-hmm. ways to engage consumers. So you got to think about, how do you prove your expertise and your understanding of this audience, right? So think about those as some of those opportunities. Next thing you have to do is you have to influence people. So ask yourself, are you constantly sharing your personality and expertise online? When you are, you're top of mind. You're constantly proving that you get your audience. And from time to time, you're going to put out some piece of content that's going to resonate really deeply with somebody because of something they're going through in their life, their finances, whatever it is. And that's going to trigger them to reach out and contact you. And that's why it's so important for influence to happen, which is consistent content, consistently leveraging social media, consistently being in front of them. And the best way to do that is to be there on their terms. When they want to go look for something, you're there instead of you know, blasting them with emails or, you know, ringing the doorbell types of things, which are, you know, interruption marketing type things. Mm-hmm. So when you do that, you significantly improve your chances of creating influence, which is basically getting them to the point where you can convert them and then expand your network. So leveraging social media, leveraging opportunities to get in front of them all the time to convert them from prospect, or, you know, from not interested to interested, from interested to prospect, from prospect to lead, something like that.
Well, I think one of the pieces here that is missing for a lot of our listeners is they exist online, but they don't have anything to follow that process that you just talked about, right? Just by posting things online and doing podcasts, that doesn't engage your audience. That doesn't influence your audience. You have to have different sequences of stuff to be able to get them to become actual leads. And Kirk has talked about this on other podcasts before, and I've seen him do this for clients. You create a sequence of asks and events that get stronger and stronger, which is otherwise known as a nurture sequence. So I get somebody who follows me on Facebook or Twitter, let's say LinkedIn. What is your next step? What is the step after that? because you have to have lots of different steps before you ask for a free consultation, before you have them come in to meet with you face to face. You need to write those down. And Kirk, we should probably have a podcast on that specifically, at the components of a nurture sequence. What should you do after this happens? And then show them how there is a sequence of actions that you need to have. Because what's that?
I think we ought to have a have one on that, plus one on social, on like how to communicate on social.
Yeah, good call.
Give people some better perspective. I mean, we learn from this all the time. I mean, over the years, I've learned a ton about what not to do because I've been trying and doing the wrong things, but when you get it figured out, it's a lot easier to get results.
Well, we've also just surrounded our
night.
We've also surrounded ourselves with some experts, right? So we just brought a couple of people on board who are social media experts who are helping not only us execute this here in the next 3 months, or actually, I would say in the next 30 days, but they're also able to help advisors with the same thing. Okay, so you just talked about, let's go back through intrigue, engage, influence, and what is the last one?
The last one's attract. And I find a lot too many advisors kind of have this thinking that, you know, build it and they will come. When you build your website and you have a great brand, you have some content, it's not about sitting on it. Mm-hmm. It's about making it happen. Sometimes you make it happen online. Sometimes you make it happen another way. You know, go to networking events, get involved in the community, do initiatives like the story we told earlier. Get out there in the community. People will ask you when you can share with them who you really are with your position and your niche audience, people are going to be attentive to that. And then you can say, hey, go listen to my podcast or something cool like that, or go download my paper. People will really spark up and perk up when you do things like that. Yeah. So there's great opportunities there. Another thing that we've been working on is called prospect cloning. And that's where you identify people that you in your networks that you really like working with and you would love to clone them. And we use the company that you're involved with. We use their artificial intelligence to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So we're experimenting with this right now, and it looks very promising. And hopefully you hear more about this from us in October 2017. And that's called prospect cloning. But you got to get out there and find other ways to bring people to the party, too. And that could be, you know, you could be boosting mm-hmm. content in Facebook. You could be running ads in LinkedIn. You know, go where your audience is, leverage the type of content or campaigns that you want to in the right places. So it's better to boost a paper or something LinkedIn, for instance, than it would be Facebook, because people don't care about papers in Facebook.
Right.
They want to know more interesting stuff.
Yeah. And you really have to make sure that you are doing the work. And I love the fact that Kirk just brought that up, because it is so much more about set it and forget it, which is the last part of what we're going to talk about with death from referrals right now, which is the right mindset. Now, we know that referrals are still the lifeblood of your organization, whether they're indirect or direct. But when you are posting stuff, when you're creating stuff, when you're out in public, you have to be in the right mindset. And we had a great guest on just a little while ago, Paul Kingsman, who is a Olympic bronze medalist in swimming. And he talked about the distraction-proof advisor and how to focus. When we also teased out from him that it was so important for him to be in the right mindset when he was on the blocks and he was, you know, doing this whopping 2-minute race. You have to be at that level of professionalism. There are times, everybody, that it's go time. And so, Kirk, let's break down these right mindsets that our listeners need to get in.
Yeah. So work on how you build trust before meeting people. So think about that all the time. So if you're not meeting with somebody face to face, but they're learning about you without you being in the room, you got to put effort into that. And you got to think about, how do you build trust with people before you've ever met with them? That has to happen online. So you got to figure out how to do that. The next thing is, I would say, focus on profit if that's something that's really important to you. So make sure that you're not getting distracted from working with good people. And sometimes people try to grow their businesses, implement new marketing, and they're completely overwhelmed because they were already at 50 hours a week and they just added 10 more hours. And now all of a sudden they're, you know, so you shouldn't be adding stuff. You should be taking away, but focus on profit. In this case, focus on having fun if you want to, if you want more fun in your work. So work with people that you understand, who appreciate you, and who want, and who really love what you do and want to refer you. So those are the right mindsets. It's not just, you know, work harder, spend more money. It's work with anybody who, you know, asks to, you know, for your help. It's, you know, be very clear on, you know, who you're working with, whether you can be profitable, how important that is, you know, having fun, working with people you enjoy. Seek to inspire too. So seek to inspire people, and don't leave it upon them or somebody referring you to inspire. You do the inspiring. Have amazing marketing, have a great story, show your personality online, be involved in the community. You know, that community initiative we talked about earlier, like inspire people and be accountable to making that happen. Next of all, this is a really important one, is focus on building momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take on more than you can implement, follow up with, and sustain. You have to keep it within reason. It's better to start some and then build marketing that, this is another thing, build stuff that lasting marketing versus sunk marketing, because that's how you build momentum. You build stuff that you can leverage that's still important and good a couple of years down the road. For instance, podcast episodes.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast episode doesn't just happen in this moment or when we launch it on social. It stays here. Could be a year later, somebody types in, finds us through SEO. Could be that they're just on our site and they hear about it. Somebody refers them to one that they really liked. There's so many opportunities for our podcast episode to last and add value to our business, right? So you think about things like that. So those are things that help you build momentum. So some of those lasting marketing ideas are podcasting, blogging, vlogging, things like that. Things that people can come back to, white papers.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, and those should be evergreen too. The more evergreen they are, obviously the more longer they'll last.
Mm-hmm.
Sunk things might be things like advertisements, seminars that when they're done, they're done. So whatever money you put into them, it's done. I mean, seminars, you're going to get a list of prospects, but it's a big cost for typically a small list, unless you're really, really good at them and you do a ton of them.
Yeah.
So you get efficient, you know, with your staff and everything and your costs and all that kind of stuff.
But why don't they make those seminars? Why don't they try to make the seminars more evergreen? Why don't advisors videotape what's going on in those seminars and rebroadcast it at a later date, especially if people weren't able to come, put it on your website? They're still going to want to meet with you in person. Again, this is all about building momentum. One and done is not momentum. Doing multiple seminars is not momentum. Kirk is right. That's a fixed period of time. Unless you can make this evergreen, unless you can splay this out over a period of time, then you really are not getting the legs that you need it to get when you're spending that much money on a marketing piece.
Buddy, I got to tell you, you complete me. From a marketing sense. Yeah, that was a great thought. I mean, we see so many times where people could create more useful marketing that they can reuse.
Mm-hmm.
And leverage other ways. And that's a great example of doing that. My last point here is just to invest in your brand and invest in you. I mean, if you're going to be in this business for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, why wait? Why wait for 5 years? You know, unless you get something really significant going on in your practice and you're just in a huge, massive transition. Even still, you got to know where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to figure out, and you got to invest in yourself. And investing in your brand is something you can carry with you for a long time. Your brand's going to evolve, and that's okay. But you have to have something. You have to have a story that sets you apart, that gives you a chance to get, you know, not waste these opportunities and waste all the prospecting you're doing.
So we have some solutions here. Now, we haven't really done this before, Kirk. So for those of you who want, you can, you know, you if you don't want to hear this kind of, not necessarily a pitch, but an opportunity that something that we've created, you can stop the podcast right now. Thank you very much for listening. But for those of you who want to dig a little bit deeper in everything that we talked about today, we do want to spend just a little bit of time talking about podcasting, because it is such a great way to get all of your stuff out. And we've been really refining our process here for the last 6 months with a bunch of great clients who have allowed us to be a little bit experimental with some of the things that we've done. And we've
have them be good.
Mm-hmm.
What podcasting has done for us and for some of the advisors that we're working with has been fun, profitable, focused, and I can't say enough good things about it. And the truth is that it's going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
There's a trend happening, and financial podcasts are going to be on the rise, and you can choose to jump in now or be a laggard. And you can do it on your own. It is not impossible to do on your own. You will need a fair amount of diverse talent, but it is possible. But we've tried to make it more possible by creating a really system-driven process here. We found ways to be really efficient at this that may not be your bailiwick. Therefore, you might not be able to achieve it on your own. And so we can help advisors do podcasts for probably cheaper than they can pull all the people together to do it themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So so we charge $995 for a month for two podcasts. Then we multiply the podcast content. We produce it. We do all their brand or channel setup, we even send them all their equipment. Mm-hmm. They get you to host. So they don't, if they're thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I could never sit there and talk for 30 minutes. Well, you'll have Matt. Mm-hmm. I was pretty useless until I met Matt. So now I'm on a podcast anyway. So, you know, those things, we just make it a lot easier. All of a sudden it's comfortable. It's affordable because, you know, marketing isn't cheap. If you think you can get away spending $500 a month and have that kind of marketing work for you, you're probably mistaken.
Yeah.
But if you're investing in yourself, you're investing in your brand, podcasting is a great way to get out there. And we'll help you get your podcast out there. We've got some great channels and some great tactics that we use. And in addition to that, we actually run their social media for them if they want that as an add-on, which is pretty cool. And it's pretty hard to find people who actually understand how to do intimate social, mm-hmm. help you, you know, find things that are where you're involved in your community, some of your personal interest, define specific influencers in the industry and follow them and do stuff. So we're pretty intimate with how we run that, which means it'll actually work and start conversations. Like any company, we're always improving in that area, but that's what you always want to work with, companies who want to get better too, right?
Absolutely. Well, and with all of that said, most of you talk for a living. You don't write for a living. And so when you're in a podcast situation, having a conversation with somebody who understands what you're talking about, which would technically be me in this situation, it's like you're sitting around a fire having a great conversation about something you're passionate about. And it really does come across that way with the podcast that we're doing. And last but not least, I've heard a lot of advisors who've said to me, well, Matt, I've got a girl who runs my social media. Well, here's the problem with that idea is unless she has massive financial services experience, has studied the industry, has made mistakes, then she's really only going to be doing a minimum amount of stuff that pretty much everybody else is doing. And as we have said throughout this podcast, the whole parts of Death by Referrals, parts 1, 2, and 3, you have to have your own unique story. Just by repurposing content, that doesn't help. When you have a discovery process and create curated content, which is your voice with your passions and really rounding out your brand, which is what our team does, it really does make a massive, massive difference in your practice. And we really just want to be able to help. Advisors are so far behind in these categories, social and podcasting, that there is not a crowded market space, everybody. There are very few good podcast productions out there. There are very few podcast productions out there that syndicate you across every major podcast distribution channel. So when we talk about multiplication, that's really what we're talking about. We're trying to get your thought leadership into everybody's hands that we can so that people can hear you, learn from you, and then learn to love you. All right, Kirk, what else do we got here? Anything else for today?
I mean, that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
A fairly short amount. We weren't short today.
Today was a little bit longer than our other ones, but I think we covered a halfway decent. Well, no, we covered a lot of ground. Anything else though?
No, I mean, enjoy today and the next day and, you know, start thinking about how different you want to be the next 5, 10, 15 years to be. And don't think about it in 5 years. Think about it today.
So this was episode 37, Death by Referrals, part 3. Please go back if you have not heard parts 1 and 2. And of course, subscribe to our podcast channel. And even better, go back and listen to the other podcasts. You'll start feeling our passion about marketing, branding, and podcasting and social media, because this is what we do. You've heard why we do it. We are absolutely here to help. And we thank you for your time today. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic really soon.